This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
All right, so yesterday, Mike Bacsik tried trading Amari Cooper to the New Orleans Saints. And I think if you listen to Sean and RJ in the morning, which you should because they're a fantastic morning show, they give they break down as much as they can of a topic to try and figure out, hey, what's the best direction we can go with this? What's a new angle that maybe Jerry Jones hasn't heard yet that maybe he'll hear from us?
I'm a true cholo.
And Sean and RJ, it's fantastic.
Yeah, just like those old Nike commercials remember the break whenever they were on their strike? And they did the 8th grade girls basketball. It's fantastic. I love those,
that's
man.
Old NBA. Yeah. That's the NBA thing.
Yeah, that's what it was. Nike NBA, right?
I think just NBA.
All right, fine, whatever, Mike. All right, but you were trying to figure out, okay, can we trade Amari Cooper? And the transition tag, is that the best use to do this?
I don't think you can use it on one of the tags. So you can only do the franchise tag. The only way to really trade Amari Cooper is you don't franchise Dak Prescott, which means you have to sign Dak Prescott before March 10th. And that way you franchise tag Amari Cooper, which means he's tradable. But if you use that franchise tag on Dak, you can use the transition tag, but you can't trade a transition tag player.
All right.
So then that would be out the window.
But
so you got to get Dak done before March 10th.
Okay, so let's just assume that the Cowboys do pursue it that way, because they have decided that Amari Cooper is valuable, but maybe more valuable to somebody else than he is to them.
Yep.
As they've already seen it, and can they possibly get something in return that would be as valuable as the first round pick that they gave up previously?
What is the position what's the one or two positions that you most like, take salary, everything out of it, you're like, I need somebody at that position.
I need a defensive tackle.
Okay.
And I need a safety.
Okay.
Right now for the Cowboys.
Correct.
Okay, because I was listening to your question different. It's like, well, quarterback number one.
Yeah, no. But like, assuming that got done, what do you look at?
Right now, the immediate needs, I agree with Corey, but more immediate could be cornerback if you lose Byron Jones. Because I think Cheeto is a below average corner at best.
Okay.
And I think Jordan Lewis is a gambler who I don't know if there's much of a future in Dallas for him either. What a big year for him to prove something. So corner could be more of a need once we find out what they're doing with Byron Jones.
Okay, so this addresses what Corey said, and it doesn't directly address, but it can't hurt when you supplement the defensive backfield in general. So the trade that I am proposing, you can say yes or no if you're the Cowboys. Would you want to do this? 877-881-1053. And if you want to give logic, obviously I'm here for that.
Don't do that.
I'm going to trade Amari Cooper and the Cowboys second and third for Jamal Adams. Now, I know that's a hefty price tag, but you're kind of going off the idea that the Jets initially, they wanted a first rounder plus for Jamal Adams. That was during the season. Draft picks are more valuable now. So if you go off the assumption that Amari Cooper is worth a high two or a low one, I'm giving you a 1, 2, and a 3 for Jamal Adams, or 2 2s and a 3 for Jamal Adams. And so that is the pitch that I would make. And for the Jets, like, they're about to, you know, Robbie Anderson's about to go out the door. They could use somebody who's dependable but still young to grow with Sam Darnold. So we have some reasons that maybe the Jets would want to do it. But even if there's no reasons, I just kind of want to gauge y'all's perspective of how much you would want to make that move. So it's an Amari, a 2 and a 3 for Jamal Adams.
Too much for me. I say no.
Okay. Is there a way to get another lower tier pick?
For you?
In return.
Oh, back from them?
Like, you get a fifth round in
the
deal?
Yeah, can I get a 5 or a 6 in return?
Yeah, I could probably.
So we could draft Mike Jackson again and release him immediately?
Don't worry about that. Oh. I knew you were going to say that. And it has to be, you need it to be in this draft, yes?
I would like it in this draft.
So counter argument then would be if you came back and the Jets offer you their 6th.
Yeah.
Then you're in?
Yeah, I would do that. I'm very concerned about this year's 2 and 3 because there are some quality players there. You can get a safety in the second round. And listening to Jeff and Broaddus talk yesterday, one of the guys that's in the second or third round, Winfield, is might be the best safety out of this entire draft. And he's considered in that second, third round area right now. And you might be able to pick up that guy. But here's the thing. Again, if you're in a win now situation, right, then don't you need talent that is capable of playing at this level right now?
Okay, because from the 210, I'm not going to do that trade. It seems counterintuitive. I'd much rather stay at 17 and grab the best safety. And that safety might turn out to be whatever. But there's
in
no,
a couple of years.
Yeah, there's no chance in hell anybody you draft in that spot is going to be better than Jamal Adams in 2020.
I remember when Choppy said it was Patrick Peterson. It took him six games before, and that was the fastest before he got on, you know, up to speed. And that was the fastest they've seen somebody get up to speed like that.
From the counting numbers, maybe.
Yeah, from the counting numbers. But I think it's just going to take too long for that safety to get up to speed to be Jamal Adams is already ready to go. My concern is, am I signing him in the future? Am I going to be able to afford him in the future? But, man, look at what Earl Thomas did this year.
I'm interested that it took a fifth or sixth round pick to say yes for you, and I'm just going to give you my philosophy. I think fifth, sixth, seventh round, and free agents that were undrafted are all exactly the same. I think once we get past the fourth round, it's not saying that there aren't fifth round, sixth round, and seventh round picks that don't end up being good. Most of them get released and never have an NFL career. And so I don't know. I'm just interested in why you would say no to the first initial trade. But, man, if they throw in that sixth, now I'm in.
I have more faith in my scouting department. Now, do I have more faith in the Cowboys scouting department? Maybe not. But I have more faith that my scouting department can find me guys I can build off of. Because I look at the Seahawks team, their championship team. They were built on, like, fifth rounders. That whole squad had a bunch of really good fifth rounders on their defense. So I like that. And plus, I feel like maybe I can utilize that to move up if I need to into the fourth round. But that's – or maybe if I could use my 5 and 4 to move up into the third round, that's a possibility to get that third round pick back.
From the 972, Amari Cooper and a third round pick for Jamal Adams and sixth and fifth round picks. I just don't see any way. I know you're still getting the advantage on that draft compensation, but not by a ton. And so essentially you're offering them Amari Cooper for Jamal Adams straight up. I don't think that's going to happen given that they said we want a 1+. I mean, Amari Cooper is probably not trade-wise. If he was still under contract, that would be fine. But trade-wise, I don't think he's a 1+.
I really like Jamal Adams. I think he's a top 5 safety in the game of football today.
And just for reference, do you think that Amari Cooper is a top 5 wide receiver?
No. Okay. I think there's a good argument once we get to top 10.
Okay.
Now, Jamal Adams to you guys is a huge difference maker?
He is for me.
Yeah, me
because
too.
Because what you have at safety is ridiculously terrible. It's that bad. This is a guy that plays with great instincts, hits hard, can get the ball, makes things happen, and can also blitz. I think he's a difference maker if you use him the right way, and the Cowboys don't have a guy that they can use that way. So for me, he is.
Okay.
So you disagree then?
I'm going to have to look up stuff because the Jets went 7-9 last year. The Jets weren't a contender the year before. And I know that has a lot to do with Sam Darnold being a rookie and sure. Sam Darnold getting hurt, mono to start the year.
Yeah.
And they have lack of weapons on the outside. So I think it has to do more with offense than defense. But I'd like to see Jamal Adams and then just looking at defensive rankings for the New York Jets and how good they are. And is he the main reason the Jets are good at defense?
So I'm kind of intrigued by I'm always intrigued by the impact plays.
Who are your top 5 safeties right now?
I mean, he's definitely in the top 5.
Would you say Matthew's one of them?
Yeah, and that was somebody that I really wanted here.
You want a Super Bowl?
Guy's really good. Why am I drawing a blank? Number 22, Smith.
And they were in the playoffs. Would you say that Earl Thomas is still one of them? Because he was ranked number 1 by Pro Football Focus.
I'd say top 5. I'll put him in the top 5.
Okay. And they made the playoffs?
Baltimore.
They made the playoffs. I mean, 14. And you know, the safety position and a lot.
So you think that Jamal Adams can take us from 8-8 to 14-2?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know about like that much of a jump, but what I was going to say is I'm interested in like the impact plays, and so let's focus on strictly turnovers as an impact play. All right. So his first year, he was responsible for 3 turnovers. Second year, 5. This last year, 4, and he also had 6.5 sacks. So, I mean, if you're just looking for, like, strict impact numbers as a safety that picks you up 6.5 sacks and forces 4 turnovers, that's pretty damn good. So, that's why I'm intrigued by it. And I'm not discounting the wide receiver, because I've seen a bunch of people say, yeah, but the wide receiver position is more valuable. That's true, but you're about to pay Amari Cooper to be a top 3 wide receiver, and he's not a top 3 wide receiver. Like, at least with Jamal Adams, you can say this. If you end up having to pay him because he's still got 2 years with the option, but he wants a contract sooner rather than later, and I get that. But if you're going to pay him top 5 money, he's a top 5 safety. Amari Cooper's not a top 3 receiver. He's not a top 5 receiver, but that's the money that you're probably going to have to pay him. We have enough players on this roster in Zeke and in Dak and in Tank that are not top 5 players that get paid that amount of money.
I will say this.
Or top 3.
If you, and I know you said that probably the Jets would say no to this, if you tell me it's Amari Cooper and our 3rd round pick for Jamal Adams, I will say yes.
Okay, and at least then I think you're back in the ballpark, because again, we're equating Amari Cooper as like your 1st round pick, and they said, I want a 1+. Well, a 3rd round pick as a sweetener is pretty nice. What if it was just Amari in the 2nd? Is that where you draw the line?
I'm convinced if I look at the history of the draft in the 2nd round, there's going to be a whole bunch of players. I don't care if it's the Cowboys or the Seahawks or whoever. In the 2nd round, out of those 32 players, there's going to be 15 of them that have nice NFL careers, 5 or 10 of them that have pathetic careers that are out after 2 or 3 years in the NFL, and then there's going to be 5 or 10 guys that are kind of, you know, I mean, they played in the NFL for 5 or 6 years. They were all right. Third round, we get a lot less. Third round, you just go over the history, go to 5 years ago or 10 years ago in the 3rd round, and you're going to find that half the players didn't even have a career, most likely, in the NFL. Like, they were there for 2 or 3 years, out of the NFL, done. You're going to have a few great hits. So I just look at the 3rd round pick as, hey, I can give up a 3rd round pick because my chance of hitting a 3rd round pick being what Michael Gallup is doing. That's great, what Michael Gallup is doing. But there's also some 3rd round picks where you're just like, bleh.
Okay, I got one more question for you guys along these lines, because it came out from the 469. Does it make any difference to you if the 2nd and 3rd got pushed down the road? Like, would it make any difference to you if I said,
like, 2nd round pick in 2021 and a 3rd round pick this year, so you feel like...
Or if both of them were next year, does that factor into your thinking?
A little bit. Here's where I'm thinking overall. Is I am scared that we are putting an 8-8 team that had an easy schedule. We're jealous of the Patriots. Oh my God, they get to play the Bills and the Jets and the Miami. Guess what? We got to play this year. That same
schedule. We went 1-3 against this team.
And we went to we're in the worst division in all of football last year. And we went 8-8. So I think this is tough for me. And maybe I'll get over it by the time we get to football season. We went 8-8 with an easy schedule. And are we putting it all on the coaches? The players had nothing to do with 8-8. It was just the coaches. So we changed the coaches. So this 12-4 team was brought down by the coaching staff to 8-8. So if we just make 1 or 2 minor adjustments to the players, and because we have a different coaching staff, we are 12-4.
That seems to be the prevailing wisdom that people are clinging to.
So don't make any more changes to the team. You already made the coaching staff changes. But you don't.
If you think this team was great, I mean, just speaking for Kavanaugh, Kavanaugh thinks this team was great last year. You don't need to make much changes. Now, you have to, because there's a lot of free agents. But he believes if you bring them all back, if you're able to take the money and just give Quinn the money and Jones the money and Cooper the money and Dak the money and bring back some of the role players.
I'm willing to give everybody the money.
This is a 12-4 team that the coaching staff pushed down to 8-8.
That's fine. I'm willing to give everybody the money, just not the years.
Sounds good, Jeff.
I can't give all those guys all the years because if it wasn't the coaching staff, if it was the players, then that's too long of an investment.
That's what I'm scared with. I'm not saying we shouldn't look into Jamal Adams. I want to keep the 1st round pick. You guys, if they just said today, if they really loved a wide receiver on the board. Let's just say we're today is draft day, and now it is 7:30 p.m., and the Cowboys are getting close to their pick. It's pick 14. The Jets have just picked, and they got a player they really liked, but they love another player. And they're like, my gosh, if we can get this wide receiver to go with Sam Darnold right now, what an unbelievable draft.
Yep.
Call up the Cowboys and see if they'll give us 17, and we'll give them Jamal Adams to just get this wide receiver we need. We'll get off of the contract of Jamal Adams that we're about to have to give, and we're going to get this wide receiver to pair up with Darnold, with the other player we just picked in the draft. Do you say yes to just giving up pick 17 on draft day?
Yes. But overwhelmingly, people are saying no because they have an issue with the multiple draft picks and how many holes we have to fill. So I don't know if that would change, because there's nobody you're going to draft at 17 that's going to make a bigger impact than Jamal Adams. Right. That's a fact.
Is it, where are you at with it, Corey? 17 for Jamal Adams on draft day. The Jets call you up and they say, we just want that first round pick. Give it to us now. We'll give you Jamal Adams.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Okay. I think I'm with you guys on that one.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.